Welcome to the sixth and final episode of Your Time on the Run, the Hunted podcast from Reality TV Warriors. My name is Michael Harmstone, and joining me as always is the Australian who has two voices in her head, one saying she should apply to Australian Survivor and the other one agreeing with it, Michelle Pierce-Denevan.
No, it's ridiculous.
It's happening, Michelle, whether you want it to or not, because if you don't apply, we will for you.
Oh, God.
I will get Ant to dress up as you and do a terrible Australian accent if necessary.
That'd be funny with a blonde wig.
In fact, when are applications open to? Because if it's after the new year, I can get Logan to do it instead. And also joining us is my fellow Brit who couldn't pass for a jogger but is wearing sunglasses right now as he's a little bit tender, Anthony Williams.
Hello, hello.
I'm disappointed that you're not as tender as I'd have hoped when I wrote that a few days ago.
I know, I was very sensible last night. I took to drinking water after about 9 o'clock because it was getting a bit hot in the venue and I thought, this is not good. So, yeah, I'm feeling fresh as a Dutch daisy today.
Fans of Hungover Podcast will be pleased to know that Logan is going to be rough when I speak to him later today for Amazing Race Asia because he was up till about 5 a.m.
He had a lot of events on for Halloween.
Yeah, he was at a haunted maze on Friday. He was dressed as Otto at Halloween party today.
Otto man.
So, previously, 10 fugitives set off on a mission from Birmingham's Milk Street to evade detection and capture by a team of elite hunters. Almost immediately, they tracked house husband Nick Cummings down to the canals of the area. However, he evaded their capture by accidentally leaving the canals. Military men, Kirk and Jez, use their amputee network to evade capture, but after a close call in Blackpool, the hunters tracked them down to a motorway service station, and they became the first two fugitives captured. Professional poshos, Hamish and Michaela, water-skied their way through Michaela's alumni network, but thanks to a tip-off by a bartender, they were caught outside a pub, and to celebrate, Michaela jumped in the canal. As a new treat, the hunters added male monitoring to their arsenal, and this led to the downfall of temp worker and comedian Lolly, as she attempted to meet up with a friend outside a beautifully lit church. And she became the fifth person caught. With just a few days to go, Maddie was tracked to Swansea after splitting with his friend Io, and after a mistake ringing a friend in Reading, he became the sixth fugitive captured when he arrived. Now only four fugitives remain. House husband Nick grew in confidence as every day went by, peaking when he confused the hunters by convincing one of his drivers to pose as him when the hunters were fooled by a decoy. Yorkshire girls Anna and Elizabeth took hitchhiking to a new level, covering over 2,000 miles in 2 weeks, but had a near miss when they returned back to the Dales. An antagonistic Io became the hunter's Achilles heel as he baited, taunted, and downright insulted them in his quest to win, and win in style. He was cornered during a visit back home in Hackney for his daughter's birthday, but managed to escape at the last moment with a friend. Only 4 days remain, and anyone who makes it to the end will share £100,000.
Oh, jeez.
You can talk again now.
Oh, sorry, I nodded off.
Righty-o. Sorry. Checking mail.
I think Michelle just completed her entire Australian Survivor application.
Oh dear.
And so, yeah, 4 days to go. We start episode 6 and it's all exciting. Or to be accurate, 3 days, 19 hours and 48 minutes to go.
49 minutes according to the subtitles.
Yeah, yes, depending which way you want to go. That extra second could have made all the difference.
It actually could as it happened.
It could, couldn't it?
Mm. Poor hunters, Ben and Julie.
Oh, bless them. Sherlock and Rebecca's mother.
So, Io says he's already spent the money, which, as it happened, worked out quite nicely for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always good if you're going to spend the money to actually then have the money to spend.
And, as is traditional, he's on the canals on a bike.
Yeah, and it didn't explain it, but I think, just looking at his Twitter feed, I think he managed to blag that bike from Halfords. I don't know whether he bought it or whether he just blagged it off them.
No, I think he bought it from Halfords.
Right, okay.
I think he must have met up with a friend who he stashed it with or something, though.
Yeah, and unless he did just find a Halfords while he was on the run and just nip in and buy one.
Yeah, but I think it would have been something like £135, which would be most of his budget if he did buy it.
Yeah, it would.
And the hunters say that he needs to remain humble.
Yeah, that's going to happen with Io, isn't it? That's one of his character traits he's most famous for, is his ability to stay humble. Of all the things I love about Io, that's not one of the things that I would be thinking.
He'd be boring if he was humble.
Exactly. We don't want Io to be humble. We want him in the hunters' faces. That's what he's brilliant at. He's such a good character. We don't want him to back down now.
And Nick should feel confident, and he decides not to run from a helicopter so as to not raise alarms, which is pretty intelligent.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. He's really got his head around this game by episode 6. And yeah, you start running when you see a helicopter. Well, that looks much more suspicious than a bloke sat having a pasty on a bench.
And he seems to think that the hunters will think of house husbands as failures and slackers.
Yeah, and this has been the theme, hasn't it? This has been the theme of the season. And every time Nick says that's what he thinks the hunters think, I think secretly that's how he was viewing himself. But I get this feeling he's changed that opinion, which is great. Real growth arc.
And Anna and Elizabeth are erratic and in Wensleydale.
Yeah, can you say it like him? Say Wensleydale, please.
Cracking cheese, Gromit. Wensleydale.
Because when I heard Wensleydale, all I had was him in my head saying it over and over again. That's what I needed in real life.
Did Ant not agree to do this entire podcast as Lord Sugar, a.k.a. a Mitchell brother, a.k.a. Peter Blakesley?
Oh, Michael Caine! Yes! Anthony, you are no longer allowed to talk like Anthony.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Hey! No.
So that application done, is it, Michelle?
The problem is, this is Michelle's last podcast with us for a bit, so we can't exactly bother her too much.
I know.
You can't. Why? Because I won't join you again.
Yeah, exactly.
I might do a little guest appearance on Asia.
And they get a lift from a delivery driver called Nigel and stay with him and his daughter. And they decide to monitor the media just as Blex decides to ring radio leads to talk about them.
Yeah, fancy that, eh? Just as they happen to be sat having a cup of tea listening to the radio, but who should come on? But Blex!
This just adds to people's theories that, oh, it's rigged.
Yeah, which I am getting tired of. There's a difference between rigging a show and somebody saying, hey, do you know what? It'd be really good if you switched the radio on because there might be something you want to hear. That's not the same thing, is it? It's not a fix. It's just editing it in a way that makes it make sense.
I think that people just aren't aware of the rules that are blatantly online.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't fix it. There's a lot of rules. Do you remember all the fuss when they had the rigged phone-in stuff? You know, when people were voting for things and the vote had actually already closed. There would be hell to pay if it turned out that a whole game was rigged. It's just not... I just think people don't get the difference between real life and reality TV, and therefore when they see things that fit the narrative of the show, they think that that's wrong. It's not wrong, it's just the way you edit a show. It's a TV show.
Mm.
Probably about 5 years ago, Michelle, there was a scandal for most BBC programmes where it was phone-in polls and the lines had already closed or a decision had already been made. But this ended up taking every phone-in competition or poll off BBC shows for about 2 months.
Oh yeah, it was a big, big scandal. And even now, if there's any phone-in votes, we have to hear every single time, please don't vote after the lines have closed. You may still be charged. Your vote won't be counted. Every time.
You're a bit bored of that, eh?
Yeah.
And Lizzie feels pressured and they decide to leave the Yorkshire Dales.
Yeah, and this whole trip back to Yorkshire really ultimately is what's cost them the game, isn't it?
Yep, but it gave us some fantastic TV moments.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed Anna and Elizabeth. I think they've been fabulous contestants. I really did feel for them getting caught so close to the end, but I think the parts of what they've done have been really good. I think they've had almost a really good strategy. They've made a couple of mistakes towards the end, but other than that, they've played really well.
They have, and I can't believe they got caught. I was quite devastated actually, because we all sort of thought that they'd get to the end. They had a chance, and then to go out that close to the end must be just gut wrenching.
Did someone not say pre-season that we'd have a capture in the final episode?
Well, we knew there would be a capture, but we didn't.
Yeah,
think
we
it
just
was
thought
them,
it would
we?
Be Iron.
Yeah.
Didn't someone say that from like week one though?
Yeah, but we kind of knew that.
Just more gloating. And Madu is brought in to try and blab on Io, and this adds a new rule that we didn't know about, which is if you split up, you are still in the Hunter's clutches.
Yeah. Yeah, and they didn't make much about it, but they didn't put the Red Cross through him until he decided to decline the deal. I didn't know whether that was just a dramatic thing or whether it was some game thing.
I think that they might have played with the timeline slightly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that Madu's interrogation was probably a couple of hours after he got caught.
Yeah, yeah, it could well have been.
And knowing that they were going to be doing that, they probably thought, oh, there's no point putting the Red Cross through Madu until we know whether he's going to cooperate or not.
Yeah, so it was all part of the same sequence. The bringing him in was part of the capture, and they've just held it back. Yeah, that would make sense.
And Blex is disinterested in most things that Madu has to say, just whether he'll help bring Io down or not.
Yeah, and then he basically talks about life in the 70s for a little while. That just sounds like he's making a desperate bid to bring back the Sweeney to TV. I think he's looking for a lead role in a 70s cop drama.
Do you not think that Blex would be great in that sort of role?
Oh yeah, it'd be superb, but you'd have to do it kind of Life on Mars style and set it in the 70s, I think.
He's just a fan of letting people stew.
Stew in your own juice. There you go, Michelle.
I loved how, Maddo just said, yeah, if it's not 50,000, no deal.
Yeah, and how he spread all the notes across the table to make it look like £1,000 was actually a considerable amount of money. There was £5 notes in there. There was all sorts. I think they just had an office whip round. I think that's what it was.
And they rolled £5 as well. There weren't any polymer ones.
Yeah, they weren't the new shiny polymer ones. That's true. They weren't out then anyway. They didn't come out till September.
That's beside the point.
You've only just got polymer notes.
Yeah, and only the £5 note at the moment.
Seriously.
I know.
Wow.
So Madu gets the pleasure of being interrogated by Blex, and he is offered £1,000 to ring Io and arrange a meeting up point where the hunters can swoop in and get him.
Yeah, and he gets offered the deal, but he's not good at being the banker, is he, Blex? You know, he doesn't offer him a swap. He doesn't offer him box 23. It's just the money's on the table. It's no deal. That's it.
Blex is no Glenn Hughill, because if he was, then probably the first word that he would say in every episode would spell out who's going to win at the end.
Yes, it would have done. That would have been fabulous.
I think that probably only about two or three people will actually get that joke, but basically, the guy who used to present our mole is now the banker on Deal or No Deal.
What? Why?
Because he's a TV producer.
Bizarre.
But the first year that we had a mole, the first word that Glenn said at the start of each episode spelled out who the mole was. And then in the second year, the first word spelled out, this time not the first, but the second. And it was the second words of each sentence that he spoke that spelled out who the mole was.
Yep. Very clever.
Wow.
And for Series 3, now that this is a possibility for pair teams, what I thought was that if it happened and one team got split up and only one person got caught and one person didn't, that they should arrange for a safe word for being able to take the money and still, you know, not grassing their friend properly.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
So you ring them and manage to include this safe word in it, and then you can still take the money and your friend will then avoid the hell out of wherever you're supposed to be meeting.
Then you can use it as a decoy. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
And you share the money at the end if they don't win.
Yeah, that's good thinking. I like that. I don't think there's enough prearranged stuff happening in here. And I don't know whether that's just because maybe they don't get a lot of time to prepare. It could be that.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that they wouldn't be able to stamp out either, because what rules can you put in place that stops pre-arranged stuff?
No.
So Io is in Northamptonshire worrying about people snitching, which I'm sure is playing with the timeline slightly.
Yeah, almost certainly.
And after an ad break cliffhanger, doo-doo-doo, Madu says no.
No deal.
And instead, Io gets a winner confessional.
Yeah, which seems a bit late to leave it for episode 6, but there we go. Okay, and yeah, he wants some money for his family, and he doesn't want the hunters to have a staff party.
Nope. And he decides to stay subtle.
Yeah, again, playing to his strengths there. That's good.
Nick doesn't want to fail his family, and then HQ receive an email that tips them off to Nick being in Buckinghamshire.
Yeah, Nick's And Nick's made a return to his high-vis look, which is a good look on Nick. I like that. He's gone for the trousers this time, doing a little bit of modelling. Fabulous.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, go high-vis.
And I was just thinking, he actually looks quite a lot different in the face. I was trying to work out what it was.
Yeah, his appearance looks quite different from the mugshot they took at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think he mentions that, doesn't he, later in the episode. He's managed somehow to get that to work in his favour.
It was the beard, I think.
But it seems to have changed the shape of his face. Yeah, yes. It does. It does look different, different shape.
Rounder or something.
He certainly doesn't look that much like his mugshot, which has got to be helpful, I guess.
Maybe people should start wearing disguises when they do the mugshots. You know, like fake noses or something.
Yeah, yeah. See, all these tips were given away for Series 3. We should start collating these.
That's because we're not participating, unlike Michelle, with Australian Survivor.
And sadly we can't, because applications were already closed.
Really? That was quick.
apparently so. It was only up for like a matter of days.
Oh, wow. I missed out. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sad.
Sorry.
And CCTV then confirms that the tip-off is real.
Yeah, and he's spotted in a place with a lovely name. He's spotted in Brill in Buckinghamshire, which is obviously a Brill place to live.
Yeah, he's spotted in fantastic Derbyshire.
Spotted in awesome Arizona.
And posters featuring his mugshot and clips of his CCTV are posted around the local area and on social media.
Yeah, and he's got that lovely, he's got his lovely blue poncho mac on and his rucksack. He's fairly easy to spot at this stage.
And at the last minute, he gets a lift out of the area by his driver, Sarah, and thankfully he looks nothing like his mugshot.
Yeah, fortunately. I think you'll find friend of the podcast, Sarah, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so Sarah's been sort of tweeting since episode one and saying how much she's enjoyed the show. And then lo and behold, in episode six, she turns up. And then I get a tweet saying, couldn't say anything before, so glad I can say now. And I was like, oh, fantastic. So hi, Sarah. I hope you're listening. Sure you are.
Hi, Sarah.
And friend of the podcast, Sarah, tells him that he's been spotted, so he has to ditch all of his clothes and his backpack.
Yeah, good move.
Great.
He's done well at changing his appearance without going over the top, I think. But I guess that's easier when you're that kind of grey man persona in the first place. It's not going to take a lot.
Yeah. And Anna and Elizabeth get a lift out of the Dales and they use their Duke of Edinburgh lie again.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this. Have you noticed that Io and Nick have actually used the game to their advantage? They've told people exactly what they're doing in the hope that that will get them on board, whereas Anna and Elizabeth haven't. They've tried to have a cover story, and I'm not sure really that that's helped them, to be honest.
Well, has it gone against them?
Well, really? Not necessarily gone against them, but it's definitely helped Io and Nick, I think, people understanding what they're trying to do. And I think Maddo did the same tactic. You know, he was telling people exactly what he was up to. I kind of like that, because you're then going to get people sort of rooting for you, that they want you to win, as opposed to it's just a couple of people doing a Duke of Edinburgh award. Shall I give them a lift or not? I don't know. I just thought it might help to convince people to help a little bit more.
Maybe people think they're lying anyway, because who's doing Duke of Ed is carting a cameraman down around with them.
Exactly. It's not a great cover story. I suppose it's feasible-ish, but yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that if they were on DV, they wouldn't exactly be able to get a lift anywhere as it is.
No, that would kind of defeat the object of doing the whole physical outdoors thing. You're supposed to walk. You're not supposed to just hitch a lift.
I think Nick and Io realise that there's maybe the rebellious nature of the British public where they can go, I'll help you and stick it to the man.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it is. And they've both used that really good tactic, this sort of kindness of strangers, haven't they? Io less so, but Nick has hardly ever contacted anyone he knows, other than, I think, to achieve the rules of the game.
Yeah, Nick's greatest strength is his politeness, though.
Yeah, hello, sorry, hello.
And someone calls HQ with a picture of Anna and Elizabeth's getaway car.
Yeah, and we don't find out who that is, do we? It's just an anonymous call that someone's seen them.
And for the first time this episode, HQ called taxi firms to try and work out where they were dropped off.
Yeah, saturating the area with CCTV. It's all starting to close in on the girls.
I knew it wasn't going to be good when they got in that taxi. I just had this feeling, why are you using a taxi? Because I don't know. Taxi drivers work hard, but I feel any opportunity to get any extra money, they'd go for it.
Yeah, as opposed to a sort of stranger who's going to get bought into the whole adventure aspect of it. It's just a job for them, isn't it? So they've got no loyalty.
And I had given up any hope of seeing that drone scene.
Yeah, it did feel like it had been left on the cutting room floor. But no, it did happen.
The one week that it doesn't appear in the pre-credits segment and it actually appears in the episode.
Yay.
So we finally get the drone scene and it's as interesting as we thought.
And they run. Why did they run?
Well, it's instinct, isn't it, I suppose.
And the hunters identify a service station nearby which fits their MO.
Yeah, and you know that's the one pattern that they've fallen into is that they've used service areas. They know that there's not going to be that many around there, so it is an obvious place to go and check, isn't it?
It is, and they get pursued on foot by Hunter Will, he of Ghillie Suits. And they get a lift to the service station from a lovely old lady called Maureen in a silver Vauxhall Corsa, and then they swear when Hunter Will appears.
Yeah. Swear apology for a couple of minutes. It's brilliant. Maureen's fabulous. Maureen, she just takes it all in her stride, doesn't she? Can we have a lift to anywhere? Yeah, go on, jump in. Oh, there's drones coming after us. Ooh, okay. She's wonderful.
Everyone who drives a Corsa is awesome. And I can only say that because I drive one.
And then she gets down the road a bit and he opens the door, tries to get in, and she just reefs the door back off him and goes hell for leather.
Yeah.
God,
she's awesome. Great. Screw you, Hunter Will. We're out of here.
And he's running down the road. Yeah, what's he running down the road for? He's not going to catch up to her.
He's just running down the road going, fuck.
Brilliant. I love that scene. Hunter Will's been a bit of a star this season.
And Will tries to drag them out of the car, and Maureen tries to run him over instead.
Yeah, we get that lovely, yeah, I didn't get the registration number because they tried to run me over.
And my other favourite bit of this scene was them going up to the caravan and saying, can we have a lift? And the caravan just saying, no.
Yeah. Can I get the lift to literally anywhere? No.
Caravan says no.
And I think, do you know what, if he'd have said yes, I wonder what would have happened. They might have got away with it, although it's not the best vehicle to make a getaway in, is it really, in a camper van?
Maybe that should be the next Top Gear challenge, starring a reasonably priced caravan.
Yeah.
Oh, I only hear about Vauxhalls from Top Gear. I've never heard of them anywhere else.
Are they not same as Holden's? I think they're Holden's.
Oh, maybe.
I think so.
Not the word Vauxhall.
Yeah.
So the girls are spotted again, and this time they are outrun by Hunters Will and Steve respectively, and become the 7th and 8th fugitives caught.
Yeah, and yet another capture for Hunter Will, who has taken on the mantle of Danny and Nick in this series, I think, of getting most captures. And Sherlock is delighted, isn't he? He is over the moon.
And on day 21, apparently, the remaining fugitives, so Io, Nick and Anna and Elizabeth, were asked to meet in a central location to get information on their extraction a week later.
Yeah, and we didn't see any of that, which is a bit of a shame. And it did sound like they all went to the same place to get a briefing.
Which sort of didn't add up when you think that Nick apparently didn't know who was still left in it when he got to the extraction point. So maybe they were just told to meet at that place at some point during the day when it's convenient for them.
Yeah. But even either way, there's absolutely no need for them to go anywhere, is there? Because they can get information to them via their camera operator if they need.
Exactly.
Because there's a production crew close-ish. So it seemed a bit odd. And the fact that we didn't see it makes it a little bit weird.
They didn't do this last year either.
No, didn't they just get 24 hours last year?
Yes, yeah, they were only told 24 hours before last year.
Yeah, and I seem to recall that they told the hunters some information as well, but I can't remember what.
I think they told them the same information that they told them this year, which is that it had to be an extraction by air, water or rail, but no more specifics than that.
Yeah, that might be right.
I'd love to see a rail extraction, but
Yeah, it wouldn't be particularly good, would it?
How long would it take to get from the top of Scotland, say if they were, you know, needing to get to Brighton? How long would it take? How long would it take?
It depends on your mode of transport, but you could do it in a day.
You could, okay.
You'd probably have to travel by rail if you were that far away.
Yeah, from that distance to be reliable. But they've got 5 days, didn't they, or something?
Seven.
Yeah.
7 days, yeah.
So the extraction point is a small jetty under the Sheppey Island Bridge, where a boat will pick them up at 1 p.m. on day 28.
Yeah, Isle of Sheppey, I think it's called.
Sheppey Island Sheppey Bridge Island. Is what they said on the show.
Okay, fair enough. It's on the Isle of Sheppey anyway.
So shut up.
Yeah, and it's like a really odd place that is. It's not far away from lots of places, but it's also a little bit remote. And I know that sounds really weird in that it's not very far from London, but it's a fairly quiet-ish location.
Yeah, and in the show, 48 hours remain, and Blex decides that it's time to get reactionary.
Yeah, which makes sense, doesn't it? Because the fugitives have got to drop any plans they've got because they've all got to go to one place, and albeit they don't know where that one place is, they can't just use existing networks. So yeah.
And Io hates snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Yeah, a bit of a metaphor going on there, do you think?
And Io befriends a lady called Lisa and her daughter Haley, and he doesn't want to trust strangers, but still gets a lift off Haley and her boyfriend, but tells them that he's going to Birmingham.
Yeah, and he says he's got to get to Birmingham, and they go via Banbury because they've got to swap cars or something. It was all a little bit vague about all of that. I'm not sure whether that was to help Io or just they need to go and get a car from Banbury or something. It was a bit odd, that.
Yeah, and then Haley and her boyfriend ring HQ to say, "We know where Io is, do you want the information?" And they get offered £500.
Yeah, and they realise that's not enough to dob him in, so best tell him what we've done, really.
What would be your reaction if you had been on the run for 27 days and you'd got in someone's car and they said, "Oh yeah, we rang HQ, but they didn't offer us enough money to grass on you, so don't worry"?
What would my reaction be? Probably considerably less well than Io seemed to take it.
Yeah, you'd be livid.
Yeah, he took that really well and got really pragmatic as well. And he's like, "Right, let's switch phones off. We need to ditch this car. I need to go on my way." This felt to me, episode 6, felt like the real Io that we probably should have been seeing all the time. But because they need to edit their story the way they need to do it, we didn't see that. Because you don't get to the last day unless you're making those kind of decisions, do you? He can't be just the impulsive hothead that he's been portrayed to be. That would be ridiculous.
And thanks to the potential tip-off call, HQ gets cell site monitoring, and they think, Io's on foot, so try and block off all of Banbury's exits.
Oh, Banbury Cross, see you, fine lady, upon a white horse.
Yeah, that's the one.
Sorry.
And Io falls down a ditch and then gets a lift to Bicester.
Yeah, and again, we're not sure of the timeline here, are we? So we know the hunters do end up sort of tracking him to Banbury, but he's already gone by then. So I wonder how quickly they got onto that lead and how far behind they really were.
And he reaches out to a contact, Kevin, who isn't on the hunters' radar at all.
Yeah, and I presume this is a mate of his from sort of his neck of the woods, which must have been a really awkward time for him, having to wait in Bicester to get someone from London.
Drop everything, I need you to drive me somewhere.
Yeah, that would have been... That's why I'm saying I'm not sure how close the hunters could have been onto his track at that point, because he must have been hanging around for quite a while in Bicester.
That must have been so nerve-wracking for him, just sat in that bus shelter thinking, I could get caught at any minute.
Yeah, just sitting waiting, hoping your mate's going to come and pick you up and get there before the hunters do, and having nothing else to focus your mind on, and it being a day before the end of the game. That's serious stress.
Mm.
And Hunter Julie actually speaks this week, and she says that she doesn't like Io.
Yeah. We haven't seen much of Hunter Julie this series, really. We've had, I think, her prominence has been taken by Deputy Louisa this series.
And Dr. Donna as well.
A bit of Dr. Donna, yeah. Yeah, because Julie was kind of doing a bit of both of those last series, wasn't she? She was also the social media expert, wasn't she, in series one? And that seems to have branched out into more sort of cyber and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's been taken over by intern Simon and...
Yeah. And the other cyber crew with the post-its on their monitors.
So Io says in the car that he wouldn't do it again, but then on Twitter later says, actually, you know, 25 grand, winner stays on.
Yeah, which is proper IO, isn't it? I love that. That really did make me laugh when I saw that tweet. He's great.
And the hunters suspect that the fugitives will be extracted by air, but keep their minds open because it has to be either air, sea or rail.
Mm.
And we finally get some backstory for Toddington and find out that he is ex-Canadian Navy and is therefore put in charge of looking at all boats.
Yeah, and he uses this AIS system, which apparently is a real thing, and it's just completely open. Apparently there's a website you can go to and just look at boats and see what they're doing, which is interesting.
Do you think that the only reason the escape boat stayed in one place for an hour was to give them a bit of a chance?
I would have thought so. You know, people keep moaning about, oh, this isn't fair, that isn't fair. You've got to, you can't just have no clue whatsoever. Otherwise, it's just going to be a really boring conclusion. So, yeah, I suspect there was something done that made it look unusual, which I think is fine. They've still got to find it. They haven't been told there is this boat and this is where it is. They just spotted something that looks unusual. That's fair to me.
Are there many harbours, like, around England?
Yeah. Yeah, loads and loads. We're an island, in case you hadn't noticed.
No. But, but a lot of places, they might just have a coast and not many inlets that make a harbour. You know, I was just wondering, I haven't gone around your whole coastline, so I have no idea.
No, there would be lots and lots of places where boats would be. So they've obviously had to spot something unusual.
Yeah.
We have the deepest natural harbour in the world.
London?
No, Falmouth, I think.
Really? Wow.
You might be right.
And to all the people who were going, oh, of course it was by sea, they didn't show anyone monitoring air or anyone monitoring trains. There was almost certainly someone doing both of those things.
Yeah, again, that's that. With a reality TV show, it's not, oh, that was the only thing they did. There's lots and lots of stuff we're never going to see because it doesn't lead anywhere. There's no point. There's no point in showing someone spending 3 hours looking at the rail timetable only to find out they're not on a train.
I would love to see next year's extraction be by train, though. Can you imagine if they found out that they were going on the Flying Scotsman or something?
Yeah, it could be really interesting. They're going to have to go something different. I'm really excited that it looks like there definitely is going to be a Series 3. I'm really fascinated to see where they take it because there's so many different things that I think after two series are going to be difficult for them to pull off.
But it's going to be so hard for them to top this year, because this year was so good.
Yep, it was. But then we said that last year, so...
True. So Io is taken to a hotel, and another taxi company confirms to HQ that Io was dropped in Bicester.
The net is closing in.
And Nick is in Tunbridge Wells, staying with a friend of his driver, Sarah, and we also find out that his son is doing an OU course in humanities.
Yeah. Yes, nice little bit of added interest. But I just loved that, of all places, where would you find Nick on the day before the extraction? With a nice lady in Tunbridge Wells having a cup of tea. How perfect is that?
That's good.
He is very Tunbridge Wells.
He is, isn't he? Where is he? He is with Barbara of Tunbridge Wells. He's probably writing a letter to The Guardian as he was doing it. Wonderful.
It's so funny, whereas, you know... If Io could be anything typically Io, he'd be in the bottom of a Indian takeaway shop, writing something on a slip of paper to leave somebody and carefully looking out the window every 10 seconds.
It's marvellous.
And Nick has two voices in his head, one saying he's going to win and one saying he's going to get caught.
Yeah, and I get it. There was lots of references to sort of mental health by the end of this, wasn't there, about how paranoid people must be feeling, and that must be really starting to tell a toll as you get to that level and being on the run for that far. It must be really hard not to either get really complacent and think you've won it and then get caught, or just become too much.
Yeah, that's why I really wouldn't want to do it. Because I think it screws you up slightly.
Yeah, I'd struggle, I think.
And I think it was one of the girls who won last year. It was either Lauren or Emily. One of them did an interview where she said that she had to have, like, therapy or something after the season.
Yeah, I seem to recall that, yeah. Yeah, really? I think a few of them had a bit of a tough time.
Blex wants to exploit some errors, and Toddington identifies the getaway boat, which is parked for an obscene amount of time near the Isle of Sheppey.
Yeah, because it looks a bit suspicious. It's a fast boat doing nothing, hanging around. So if he has spotted it on that system, he's done a sterling job. And there were lots of tweets this week from various hunters saying Toddington pretty much saved the day there and got them close, and they wouldn't have had a chance if he hadn't have spotted that boat.
Well, yeah.
It's like a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was the term they used. You know, finding it was like finding a needle in a haystack. It took some pretty smart skills to get that.
I wonder if they were given a general area.
Maybe. Yeah, they might have said it's somewhere on the Thames estuary, which is still a fairly big amount to cover.
They probably only said, like, southeast England.
Yeah, possibly.
Because for them to be able to identify one boat that isn't moving throughout the entire coastline of the UK, that would be pretty impressive for Toddington to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not subscribing to any conspiracy theories or anything on it, but it must have at least been narrowed down slightly for them.
Yeah, possibly. And I suppose they can narrow it down. It's not going to be... it's not going to be a freight ship or anything like that. It's going to be a small, relatively speedy boat. I don't know. I'm no expert on this kind of stuff. But I did notice that Blex used the most bizarre phrase I've ever heard when he said, "If the ship fits, wear it." What?
Yeah.
If the ship fits, wear it? What are you talking about, Blex? You've lost it, mate.
Totally.
So that's where Blex gets his wardrobe from. The Boat Collection by Titanic.
Yeah. Clearly so.
He just goes down to the dockyards.
The ship fits. Wear it. I don't know. Weird.
So Barbara decides to dress Nick up as a jogger, and he asks for gin in his bottle.
Of course, because it's Super Nick. Yeah, they went to... I think Barbara really enjoyed that whole finding some fancy dress for Nick to wear, didn't she? She was raiding the cupboards everywhere for jogger stuff. But then, didn't she just drive him to within a few yards of the extraction point anyway? So why was she disguising him? Did she think he was going to surreptitiously walk from the car to the jetty and just hope that nobody realised who he was in that short bit? I don't know. It was amusing, though.
And four teams of hunters are dispatched to Sheppey to try and find where they're departing from.
Yeah, including our favourites. Danny and Nick were on their way.
And our other favourites, Julie and Sherlock as well.
Yeah, Julie and Sherlock. Paul and Michelle, I think, were there as well. And Mark and the guy with the beard, whose name escapes me. Sorry, guy with the beard, Hunter.
You guys can remember them all. I can't remember any of them. I remember them by, like, mannerisms and things they do rather than names. I'm so bad at names.
And Nick proves how lovely he is by hoping no one has got caught.
Yeah, I like that. There was an element of, oh, if nobody else gets caught, I win lots of money. Oh, but no, that would be awful if they've got caught. Oh, no. No, let's hope nobody's caught.
No. Do you think that would completely break Hunted if nobody got caught until the final episode?
I think it would make it a fairly disappointing series, wouldn't it?
It'd be hilarious just to see Blex get more and more frustrated every time he couldn't catch someone.
Yeah, it would. It would. But I suspect if that started to happen, they might suddenly discover whole new surveillance methods that previously we'd not seen before.
So Nick is dropped off about 10 minutes before, and the boat begins to move, at which point the hunters realise that they are at the wrong end of Sheppey. And with just 5 minutes left to capture them, the hunters realise what the extraction point is, and it is the small jetty.
Oh boy, it was getting tense at that stage, wasn't it? But then there was the mention of, it's a place where water skiers go, and I thought, wow, this is going to be amazing. Hamish and Michaela are going to be there, water skiing past, going, this is fabulous! But no.
Fabulous, darling! They're just there with a glass of champagne in one hand and the handle in the other.
Yeah, that's exactly as I visualised it. It would have been an amazing end, but well. Maybe next series.
And then the hunters dispatch their most lethal weapon, an arthritic cat, to catch Nick. And he's the first to make a run for it, followed shortly by Io. And hunters Julie and Ben literally miss the boat by seconds, leaving Io and Nick as our winners, and $50,000 each richer.
And we go absolutely crazy in our ecstatic joy.
Oh my God. I was screaming. I was hitting my table, which was glass, and I thought, no, this isn't a good idea.
And Ant and I were both watching it live, and the reaction on Twitter especially was insane.
Oh, it was amazing. such an enjoyable, well, it was probably about an hour and a half with all the after-show tweets and stuff, but it was brilliant. But I have to say, they did it really well. They really ramped up the tension, and it did look like it could go either way, right until the point where Nick jumped on the boat. I was thinking, oh, please, please, please.
I was getting a bit worried that Nick wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were just adding a bit of doubt in that episode, and I was starting to think, maybe my read of edits is as wrong as it usually is.
Yeah.
Just maybe, and I was going to be so heartbroken if Nick hadn't won, but I was just thinking maybe he might not win. But of course he thrashed them.
Yeah, I was probably more confident this episode. I've been cautiously confident, I think we probably all have, since episode one, but there was even more hero stuff, wasn't there, in episode six? But it did get really close. It did look like, oh no, is this all leading up to, oh, you did such a great job, Nick, and you nearly made it.
It would have been an interesting TV moment if Julian Bennett stood at the entrance to the jetty and put the hands on the shoulders as he walked past and said, your time in the run is over.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been perfect. It wouldn't have been satisfying, and though, would it?
And I'm pretty sure they've changed the rules from last year, because in last year's finale, the plane didn't leave until dead on the time they were supposed to be meeting, whereas the boat left as soon as Io and Nick got on board.
Yeah. So unless it was exactly 1 o'clock, in which case, brilliant timing. Yeah. That is true, isn't it?
Question. If Io and Nick were both on the boat, and say it had another minute to go, and the hunters are running down that pier, jetty, whatever it is, with the boat, can the boat leave if they're there 1 minute before the departure time?
Well, that's the question, because last year they made it abundantly clear that if the hunters got to the plane before the plane took off, the hunters would win and catch everyone.
But the thing is that planes are given departure time.
Yeah, that's it.
You've got to keep to them, whereas boats aren't.
I'm not sure. I think they might have changed the rule this year to say as soon as you're on the boat, it can go.
Yeah, it made it more satisfying ending. But you don't know how long they were waiting before they finally went for it, because we don't see that build-up. We know Nick's in the car, ready to go. We don't really see as much from Io, but he was fairly close in that hotel anyway. So we don't know. If maybe they were waiting until it got as close to 1 o'clock as possible. And it could be that they did get there pretty much at 1 o'clock. And also, again, with editing, there could have been a moment or two where they were sat in the boat and it's just been nicely edited to look like they sped off straight away.
That running was amazing.
And also, what would have happened had someone got there at 1 minute past one?
Well, according to the rules, presumably the boat would have been already gone away and we'd have had a shot of him swimming for his life. We shall never know because of the magic of television.
So Nick says that he was nothing special, and the final shot of the series is Blex's fugitive-funded map being closed down.
Yeah. Put it away for another year, Blex.
We were that close.
Yeah, and they were. According to what we saw, they were very, very close. But what an ending. What a fabulous, fabulous series.
Yeah, I am pleasantly surprised with how good it was. I'm pleasantly surprised with how good our podcasts have been.
Oh, I'll take that.
Despite Anthony's best efforts.
I'm happy that we had someone like Io who could goad the hunters.
Yeah, I think the character this year have been much more interesting. Last year, we had some interesting characters, don't get me wrong. Ricky Allen was really good. I really enjoyed watching Emily. But this year, I think they upped it a little notch. Nick was fabulous and Io was brilliant. And they were so different. And, you know, I know from speaking to Io, he probably would have liked to have seen him edited in a different way. But I think it just had to be that way because it gave such a lovely contrast between the two winners. Different style, different background, different personalities. Everything was very different, yet they both succeeded. And I think that worked really well.
Over the past sort of 18 months or so, editors have been much more willing to give less rosy winners edits.
Yeah, we've moved away.
I mean, we had Dana and Matt from Amazing Race 28, classic villain winner edit. We had Matt Barr from King of the Nerds, who managed to, you know, be the villain of the series and still get more popular vote than Mark did. The winner's edits that they do have changed, and I don't think that editors would be willing to do a winner's edit for a villain that wasn't over the top anymore.
Yeah, and then do what they did on this, which is loop back into your final episode and actually show the other side that they're, you know, they are actually a worthy winner, which I think was, you know, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really well done. All of the characters had something. They were all memorable, even, you know, the Kirk and Jez we saw for just over one episode, but we know lots about them. Lolly had one episode. We learned enough about her, and it was really interesting. Hamish and Michaela, one episode, but really, really interesting. So, you know, you can't really fault the casting this season.
And the final question from me of the series, where do you think they're going to go next year?
I was thinking about that this week. And it's hard to tell, isn't it? Because it's such a kind of organic show. It's not like where they can create some new challenges and things. It is mostly, I think, down to the strategy that the fugitives put in play. So on that line, what I was thinking was your ultimate fugitive next season, if they combine some of Anna and Elizabeth's randomness with some of Nick's really getting people on board and throw in Io's Let's Taunt the Hunters, boy, you could be a good fugitive.
Do you think that most people will try and emulate Io next year? Because most people this year tried to emulate Ricky Allen.
Hope so. I'd love to see more of that. I think it was really entertaining stuff. The danger is Io was very good at it. And if you're not, you're just going to get caught really bloody quickly. And that'll be then you're going to get the buffoon edit. So
I don't think they would. I think the casting people would maybe look for a couple of people who might do something like that, but I don't think they'd have all of them goading the hunters.
No, because it would just get silly, wouldn't it? I think, like this season, they need a really good mix of different characters who are going to tackle the game in a different way and then roll with it. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of things that are now sort of out there, like are they going to be able to use Twitter in the same way next series? Because funnily enough, it was Sarah from episode 6 was tweeting me saying there was not that many people watching their Twitter feed this year. We were, she was, because she was involved. There were quite a lot of clues as to what was going on by what they were tweeting and when. So when it got to sort of day 24 plus and they're only tweeting about Nick and Io, it kind of gives away a little bit.
What I would like to see is if they do another series where everyone starts from the same place at the same time, have people align actually starting at the start point.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially if it's sort of two singles that decided to work together for a while.
It would be really interesting, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it? It would add a different dimension. And what if two fugitives work together, but secretly only they know that they're not going to stay together for the whole thing? Might they want to sabotage that relationship and get the hunters following one of them? That could be really interesting.
So is there anything else to say before we wrap up this season?
I would just like to say a big thank you to everybody who's got involved, particularly fugitives and helpers of fugitives. So Sarah, the Skein family, obviously the fugitives that have been in touch with us, thank you so much for your insight. It's been wonderful. Mr. Nick Harvey for providing the theme.
I was just going to say Nick Harvey because we keep forgetting about him.
Yeah, Mr. Nick Harvey, thank you very much for the tune. But yeah, I've really, 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 really enjoyed the series and podcasting about it. It's been a lot of fun. And I think a big part of that has been the energy around the show and the people that were involved in it. So big hats off to those guys.
Yeah, I echo everything Ant said.
It's fun. It was a fun season.
So, thank you for listening to our Hunted podcast all series long. We will be back to do some more Australian Survivor podcasts and Apprentice and Amazing Race Asia and also Hell's Kitchen. If you've got any questions, feel free to contact us on our Facebook page, Reality TV Warriors,
on our Twitter account, RTV Warriors, or on Twitter pages, MJ Harmstone for me, Bear 3333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333333 year, your time in the run is over.
Bye.